When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Talking Point after the British Grand Prix that will live very, very long in the memory for good and bad reasons. I'm Henry Valentine and with me is Finley from Rolder from Planet F1. Finley, how are you feeling after all that?
Tired. Chaos of a race. Hot weather in England. No sleep because nobody has air-conditioned places here because we usually don't need it. So, yeah, tired but excited to relive it through this podcast again.
Oh, God, me too. It was such a brilliant race. But if you missed it, the story of it is Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen finally came together. It was on the cards for a long, long time. And it was just unexpected, but at the same time, quite expected. On the first lap, Hamilton and Verstappen were pretty much wheel to wheel around the first half of the whole lap. Then Hamilton managed to get a slipstream behind Verstappen, heading up towards Copse, almost flat out as a corner. And then they tagged wheels and Verstappen was sent piling into the wall at really, really high speed. And that is the big, big talking point from the race, isn't it? Could that be a seminal moment in this year's World Championship?
Yeah, it feels like Vettel Hamilton, that Baku moment where there'd been all these niceties all year and then Vettel lost his rag. Deliberately hit Hamilton. I mean, I know it's not, none of that happened yesterday. The only kind of anger was the Verstappen tweet afterwards, but it felt like the gloves came off, I think. And because it's been a very kind of civilized title fight so far, and we haven't seen them really go that hard wheel to wheel as we did yesterday. I mean, before we get into the crash, I mean, the wheel to wheel racing between the two of them before the crash was incredible. I mean, that whole lap, they spent it pretty much wheel to wheel the whole time and didn't come together initially. Really, really good, exciting racing. But yeah, looking back, it felt kind of inevitable that eventually they would when you've got two drivers that aren't willing to give an inch. I think
absolutely. Well, the red flag was brought out as a result, and talk started about who was to blame. The stewards felt that Hamilton was. He was given a 10-second penalty. And do you think that was fair for him?
I think on the whole, a 10-second penalty was fair. I actually thought when I first watched it, I thought Hamilton was pretty clearly to blame. Not to the extent that Red Bull do. I wasn't calling for a disqualification or anything. But I just thought that Hamilton was never, I mean, Mercedes' claim was that he was on alongside. I don't think he was ever quite fully alongside. I think Verstappen did have the lead going into Stowe, Copse rather. And because he had the lead, he kind of had the right to take the corner how he wanted to. And I think he took a pretty normal line. He left Hamilton space and Hamilton just stuck it up the inside, which, yeah, if he was alongside or ahead going into the corner, that's obviously his right. But I just think that, yeah, I think he was more to blame for it just because Verstappen was ahead and had, it was his corner ultimately. And I think if he doesn't turn in any more than he did, he's not going to make the corner, I don't think. So I don't think he really did much wrong. You can say maybe he should have, you know, hit the brakes, but why would he do that? Ultimately, I think a 10-second penalty was fair. I don't think it was quite as clear-cut as either Mercedes or Red Bull made out. I mean, Mercedes were there saying Hamilton did nothing wrong. Red Bull were there saying Hamilton, I mean, I think it was Marcus said he should be disqualified from, like, get a one-race ban or something, which is obviously ridiculous. So on the whole, I think the stewards got it right, which is, yeah, nice, because they didn't do it too much in the last round, so...
No, but opinion varied so much, didn't it? Because obviously from the extremes of Red Bull to the extremes of Mercedes, I enjoyed Toto Wolff just trying to send an email to Michael Massey, the race director, and just getting completely slapped down. So just saying I don't check my emails during the race, like that's great. But like both sides pleaded their case. But here's what the official statement from the FIA said afterwards. So the stewards reviewed video and telemetry evidence at cars 33, which was Max Verstappen, and 44, Lewis Hamilton, entered turn 9 with car 33 in the lead and car 44 slightly behind it on the inside. Car 44 was on a line that did not reach the apex of the corner with room available to the inside. When car 33 turned into the corner, car 44 did not avoid contact in the left front and contacted the right rear of car 33. So car 44 is judged predominantly at fault. And looking back at TV replays, that probably seems about fair, because while he wasn't fully alongside, I'd say at least his front wheels were probably quite close to Verstappen's front wheels. But when you look at Hamilton's onboard as well, I think Verstappen did offer enough space, but to the point where it was just inches rather than feet. He'd already been pressed all the way up against the wall, Hamilton, and they came back to take the corner. And on top of that, I just think if Hamilton had made the apex, I think there would have been room for two of them. Ultimately, don't know how much room, but I think that could have been a key factor in deciding it. So I reckon that's what pushed it towards Hamilton getting a penalty to it just being called a racing incident, really.
Yeah, I think it was just a bit, maybe too much aggression from him to just that keen to get ahead, which in hindsight, I'm not really sure why he did that, because it looked pretty clear that he was a lot quicker in the straights, at least. So you would have thought he'd have gotten another more clear-cut opportunity, but obviously you don't think like that as a time as a racing driver, I imagine. Yeah, I think the key was that Verstappen was just about ahead. It was just about his corner. And yeah, Hamilton was behind and kind of, missed the apex, as you said. So yeah, I think that ultimately the call was right. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's not that important. All that matters is that Verstappen was okay. And he was, because that was a 51G impact, which it's not quite, I can't remember what the Grosjean one was, but I think it was in the 60s. So it's not quite that, but it's still pretty darn high. And I mean, it felt like a big one as soon as it happened. Cause I think Verstappen's car got slightly airborne as well. Not it much, did. But
it, the tire came off, off his hinges as well.
Yeah. Which was scary to see, when you see a driver kind of, go airborne while flying into the wall. And I mean, you see it was 51G, that was after it's being slowed down by gravel as well. So it was a huge impact. And ultimately, when you look at that, penalties feel pretty irrelevant at the end of the day. I mean, the main thing is that Verstappen was okay. And I think for the neutral, it's really what ignited the title fight, both in the fact that they're a lot closer in points now and the fact that for the first time, they're not all lovey-dovey with each other, which is going to make things more interesting going forward for sure, isn't it?
It really is. And, on terms of the move itself, it did make you wonder if Hamilton was trying to get the move done early, because Red Bull had been comfortably better than Mercedes in the second sector, which included the sort of twisting section of Magnussen and Beckett's. So that would have been after Kops. So that could have allowed Verstappen some breathing room, which ultimately could have kept him in the lead of the race. So I do wonder if Hamilton was really, really desperate to get past before then at the same time. But to see the two of them come together and you, like you say, the gloves finally come off is really interesting, because Verstappen tweeted after the race that he felt it was disrespectful and unsportsmanlike behaviour from Hamilton when he went on to win. But, to mitigate that, it turns out Lewis Hamilton didn't actually know that he'd been in hospital.
Yeah. I think I fully understand where Verstappen's coming from. I mean, if that happens to me and I'm sat in hospital after being punted off by my rival, and they're then celebrating, and the only thing they say about me is, well, he was too aggressive, he kind of got what he deserved, I'd be pretty peed off. But like you said, Hamilton didn't know that Verstappen was in hospital. And I feel like someone really should have told him before, because he found out in the Sky interview afterwards. So after,
yeah, in the media pen, yeah.
Yeah, in the media pen after the podium interview and stuff. And I feel like... maybe Bono on the team radio should have told him, or Jenson Button in the podium interview early on, because it did come across as kind of, it left a bit of a sour taste, I think, in my mouth. But it's obviously not Hamilton's fault, really, because he didn't know that Verstappen was in hospital. I'm sure if he knew that Verstappen was in hospital immediately, then he wouldn't have criticized Verstappen's driving and called him too aggressive. But so, yeah, I don't think it's, I understand Verstappen's point of view, and I don't think his tweet is out of order or anything. But I also think that, you know, you can't really put all the blame on Hamilton for it, can you?
No, not at all. I think that kind of gets lost in this conversation, really, as you say, that there were multiple chances for Hamilton to have been told about it. He did come on team radio and ask if he was okay in the immediate aftermath of this, before he was taken to hospital. Like you say, I think either Pete Bonington or Jenson Button should have said something, because I think the words probably got slightly more heated than they needed to. After that, but I mean, it's great to watch for us as fans, but I hope that now, I mean, either listening to us or seeing elsewhere, you know, that comes across, because I think that could be a big factor in how the incident and the words about each other are sort of perceived afterwards, really.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is getting a bit out of hand, I think, in the kind of F1 world in general. I mean, at the end of the day, it was maybe slightly Hamilton's fault, the incident, but not anything crazy. A fairly standard crash in F1. And then, yeah, I think Verstappen being annoyed with him after his reaction was largely just a misunderstanding in kind of both parties. And then, yeah, it's just got, I mean, obviously, there's been some racist abuse aimed at Hamilton, which is, yeah, just really sad and unacceptable and shouldn't happen at all. I mean, obviously, even if Hamilton purposely punts Verstappen off the track, that is still not justified, that kind of abuse. So yeah, I think, you know, it's just, well, hopefully everyone can just kind of move on from the incident, really.
You'd hope so. And Hamilton throughout his career has always been sort of described as a very clean racer, hasn't he? He's never done the sort of Senna, Prost, like even to a degree Vettel thing of just trying to either get his elbows out too much or deliberately doing something of quite nefarious, really. And I think he feels that's the same still. You know, I do wonder if opinion's turning on that because of the nature of the crash and how it all came about. But, you know, Lewis even tweeted himself that it's, you know, that's never the way that he wants racing to go. And you'd hope for the two of them that they're able to sort of put it behind them, really.
Yeah. Hopefully they can, because like you said, it's not the type of racer Hamilton is generally. And I think as well, if Verstappen stops in the gravel earlier, doesn't smash into the barriers, it's probably not much of a, it's not that much of a talking point, really. Maybe Hamilton still gets a penalty, but I think he gets the penalty and everybody's kind of moves on from it, you know. I think it's just the nature of Verstappen, you know, hitting the barrier that hard to the extent where he has to go to hospital afterwards really kind of riled a lot of people up, I think, especially with how Hamilton then going on to win as well. Again, if Hamilton, there's so many things that I mean, again, what if there's no red flag, Mercedes said that they would have retired Hamilton from the race. So again, it becomes a bit of a moot point because it's like, well, they're both out. So, yeah, it's a lot of factors, I think, that really stirred it up. And not just with the fans, I mean, obviously with Verstappen as well, with Jos Verstappen, it feels like, you know, the title fight was quite a conservative one before, but now it's really come to life. And I mean, not just with that incident, I mean, just looking at the points now, it's not long ago, it felt like Verstappen was running away with it, but now suddenly one race and it's 8 points in it, I think.
Yeah, it feels like someone's got lost there, that Lewis Hamilton actually went on to win the race. It was a brilliant race after that as well, wasn't it? I mean, for him to not only recover from that penalty to to win. I just think the manner of the race itself, the way it played out, was just really, really exciting for us to all watch. Do you think that recovery drive is probably up there one as best?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I think it was just, I think what makes it so good is that it was just, it all came in that second stint, really. It was just like, he just flipped a switch for it, because after the red flag, he is pretty unspectacular, even disappointing to an extent. I think even by, we all expected him to kind of get off the line, get ahead of Leclerc immediately. And we'll come on to just how good Leclerc was in a bit, but it was a bit of a disappointment for Hamilton, the fact that he couldn't, well, not let alone get ahead of Leclerc, he couldn't even challenge him, really. He didn't try one move, and the gap remained at around 2 seconds. You know, it was a bit lower, a bit higher at times. So at that point, you're thinking, with the 10-second penalty, he's going to struggle to get on the podium. You know, I mean, he pitted and rejoined well P5. Behind Norris. Yeah, P5. Yeah, well behind Norris. And I think if Sainz didn't have a bad pit stop, it would have been fairly close to him as well. So at that point, you're thinking there's no way he's going to win. But then his pace on that last stint was just out of this world. I mean, he had a guy in the same car up ahead of him in Bottas, and he just made it look so easy catching and passing him. And then Leclerc again, he did not have a lot of time, but he closed that gap with, yeah, just such pace. Brave to go for the overtake that he did after what happened with Verstappen, but I think Leclerc had looked at what happened to Verstappen and thought, well, I'm not going to risk that. But yeah, all in all, it was, you know, one of Hamilton's best drives of the season, for sure. I mean, if you just forget about the incident itself, the fact is he had a 10-second penalty, and yet he still went on to win pretty comfortably ahead of his teammate in the same car. It was all in all, seriously impressive drive from him.
And you could see afterwards that he was absolutely exhausted as well, because like Silverstone has always been a really physical track anyway, but in that heat, in that moment as well, for him to have the clarity of thought and the pace to come back through was absolutely ridiculous for me, and it just shows what a racer and what a champion he still is. So here's the story of the World Championship now then. So he's now 8 points behind Verstappen. It would have been 7, but for Sergio Perez being pitted by Red Bull and stealing the fastest lap point from him, which is probably quite a clever move from them. Yeah. It's now Hamilton's 99th race victory, so he's one away from becoming the first ever centurion of race wins in Formula One, which is, once that happens, we'll probably talk about that in much more detail. Mercedes are now 4 points behind Red Bull in the Constructors' Championship as well. So it feels very, very much game on again.
Yeah, it does. It's amazing how quickly things can change. And I mean, God, can you imagine Hamilton wins the next race, goes level with Verstappen in the title fight while taking his 100th win? I mean, that would be, that'd be a big moment in his career and the season as a whole.
He loves the Hungaroring as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So it's very much possible. I mean, so yeah, 8 points. So if Hamilton wins, Verstappen second, Hamilton takes fastest lap. There you go, level on points. He takes his 100th win. We're, for a neutral, that's great. And I mean, that's the thing, is that I think from a purely neutral fan's perspective, ultimately, things are in a better place now than they were before Silverstone, because both title fights are very much on, thanks to Hamilton's win and the fact that Sergio Perez just didn't really show up all weekend. Red Bull lead over Mercedes just kind of disintegrated in the Constructors' Championship. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting going. I mean, obviously, we don't want drivers to crash, and it would have been better if this title fight came to life with something other than Verstappen being sent flying into the barriers. But, you know, when you look at the context of the season as a whole, it's pretty exciting going forward now.
That's it. We're almost at the halfway point now as well. So it's absolutely flying along this season. It feels like, how good does it feel to have a proper, proper championship fight still? It's so exciting to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think it'll go down to the wire as well, which is great because we haven't had that really since 2016 with Rosberg, Hamilton. I mean, I think it all relies on now. Can Verstappen keep a cool head? You know, I think he needs to learn from what happened with Vettel, whereas, you know, Vettel kind of lost his head in Baku and his title fight kind of fell apart after that, really. And so I think Verstappen needs to learn from that. Just put this race weekend behind him, get his head back in the game, because I think he's got the car and he's got the ability to make it a really close fight and maybe even win. I'd say it's probably still in his hands, but I don't know. It's a tough one. It could really go either way at this point. I don't think there's a big favorite either way, is there?
No, not at all. And that's probably the best thing for it and the best thing for the season as a whole. And we can't wait to see how it all pans out. But in the rest of the race, that when the red flag came out, Charles Leclerc actually took the lead of the race and he led all the way through until three laps from the end. And we need to talk about just how good that drive was from him, because in a Ferrari that should maybe be the third or fourth fastest car, to be leading for that long and keeping Bottas comfortably behind him as well, that's a phenomenal drive from him.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I mean, you know, we say he lucked into the lead, but he was there by rights because of his how good he was. I mean, in sprint qualifying, he obviously he got P4, was right behind Bottas the whole time, way ahead of the rest of the midfield. So he earned his spot on the grid and then made a great start to get ahead of Bottas. And then obviously that led to him taking the lead. And then after that, I think, I think I, as well as everyone else, kind of expected Hamilton to just get ahead at the restart pretty comfortably. But it wasn't the case at all. I mean, Leclerc, he never really looked that under pressure either. He was building the gap at times. And I mean, this was with engine issues as well. I mean, I think his engine kept cutting out at certain points. So
it did. Yes. Yeah. He wasn't very happy on team radio either when that was happening. You could tell the stress in his voice because of how much he wanted it. And apparently after the race, when he did come P2, he was, you know, swearing over it and just like, he's really hard on himself anyway, isn't he? He's always his own worst critic, but apparently he was in a very sweary mood after the race. But I think that's just a reflection on the competitor he is, and for him to be gutted to not win that race says a lot about how he felt in that Ferrari on Sunday.
I mean the fact is that he was, I mean, you know, you can hear from his team radio, he was pushing. I mean, he said after the race that he wasn't pushing 100%, he was pushing 200%. You know, he was giving absolutely everything, and he didn't have to do that because it's in a Ferrari. P2 is still a great result in that Ferrari. He could have so easily, you know, taken his foot off the gas a bit, you know, make sure that the engine issues were okay and settle for second, but he didn't, and he so nearly pulled it off as well, which would have been an unbelievable achievement given the machinery he's got. And I mean, it's still an unbelievable achievement to get P2 pretty comfortably ahead of Bottas, to be honest. I think as well, he was smart with his defending against Hamilton, or lack of it. Obviously, Hamilton decided to repeat his Verstappen move, and Leclerc...
Yes, at Cops, yeah.
Yeah, at Cops. And Leclerc, I think wisely... He was right behind the Verstappen and Hamilton when that incident happened. He said after the race that his mind went to that incident. You know, he saw what Hamilton did then, and he thought, yeah, "I'm gonna stay a bit wider here." I think, which ultimately was a good call because, you know, P2 is still a great result for him, and it was, yeah, I think for me it was probably my driver of the weekend, I think.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there as well. And just on the Hamilton Cops front as well, he also got past Lando Norris there, didn't he? So that crash didn't put him off in the slightest, really. But I completely agree with you on Leclerc. He just put in a phenomenal weekend. But as for his Ferrari teammate, Carlos Sainz, like, he couldn't buy luck this weekend, could he?
No, it's real contrast. I mean, Sainz qualifying, to be fair, you know, that was his own fault. It wasn't a good result. Ending up that low down, but then, you know, he made a really good start in the sprint race. I think was looking set to gain a few places from where he started in qualifying, but then obviously gets hit by George Russell, who locked up and sent him off track. recovers really well to get P11, continues to make his way up the grid in the race on Sunday. Got up to, can't remember if we got ahead of Ricciardo or not, but it was either P5 or P6. Again, looking really good. And then obviously got that dodgy pit stop that kind of ruined things for him. I mean, without that pit, he would have come out comfortably ahead of Ricciardo, probably right around Norris. And Hamilton, when Hamilton pitted with his penalty. So, yeah, it was a rough weekend for Sainz. He just didn't get any luck come his way. But, I mean, he said it himself after sprint qualifying. It was kind of his own fault for being in that kind of lower midfield brawl because of a bad qualifying session. But it just shows how important every single lap is, you know, especially with that new format.
We went in depth about that when just after it happened as well. So if you head to the Planet F1 YouTube channel, you can get our immediate reaction to that as it happened. And for Sainz as well, but he had such bad luck in the race. It was very slow left front, wasn't it? It was a 12-second pit stop, and without that, like, Ferrari could have clawed themselves even closer to McLaren, couldn't they? Because they looked like they very much had the upper hand in that battle this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of that battle, I think Ferrari, they were comfortably had the third fastest car there. I mean, Leclerc was so far ahead of Norris and Ricciardo. You know, the gap was huge. And I know Sainz finished just behind Ricciardo, but that was with a 12-second pit stop or something. You know, it was, a really bad pit stop. That was the only, if it wasn't for that, he would have come out ahead of Ricciardo, and he would have been right there with Norris as well, despite starting the race a lot lower down than those two. So, yeah, it was a really good weekend from Ferrari as a whole. The fight for P3 and the constructors is getting really interesting again. But I mean, you look at especially Leclerc, I think you look at how good Leclerc was and you think, oh, please, Ferrari, just build him a top car for next season. Because, you know, having Hamilton and Verstappen in fairly even machinery at the front is great. Can you imagine throwing Leclerc into that mix as well? It would just be, it'd be so much fun. So yeah, it's good to see Ferrari getting better. You just hope it continues.
Yeah, I honestly think that Sainz will be in that battle as well. You know, he's shown himself to be, if not on Leclerc's level, like extremely close to it. He's had a brilliant season in that Ferrari, and but for some bad luck, he'd have been probably challenging Norris. And it's just a shame for Norris and Ricciardo and Sainz, sorry, that they couldn't even get close to Bottas in the end. Another driver that needs a lot of plaudits for the weekend is Fernando Alonso. I mean, we all saw that ridiculous start he got in sprint qualifying, gaining six places in the first lap. And he made the most of it in the race, didn't he? Still managed to come home P7, and he looked back to the Alonso that we all know and love. He said after the race that he feels like more of a racer again. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
God, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we all expected him to be pretty punchy in the sprint race as one of the best wheel-to-wheel races on the grid. And there's someone who doesn't always, over one lap, he's, you know, not one of the best ever. So he does often start lower down than his kind of ability Sunday race pace abilities. And that was, again, the case really for the sprint race. And yeah, he just flew off the line. I think he gained seven places on the first lap, which is crazy. And then, yeah, the Sunday was less eventful, but given the car he had, finishing P7, just about holding off Lance Stroll, I think it was, is, really good result for him. And I mean, honestly, every week, he's just making us look more and more, anyone that suggested he was maybe past his best, just looking more and more foolish, because he's, in recent times, he's looked so good. And I mean, isn't it just great that he's back in the sport again? I mean, I'm feeling really, really grateful that he chose to bless us all with his talents again.
Oh, same here. I mean, he called it probably Alpine's best performance of the season, because he said, you know, they got P6 in Baku, but he said that was a bit of a freak result. So for them to be, you know, P7 on pure pace was good for him. And on your point about him not being the best qualifier, he's got 22 pole positions in his career, 32 wins. So that kind of backs that up, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's, I remember Mark Webber saying it once, actually, that, and he knew Alonso very well. He said that over one lap, Alonso wasn't I mean, he was still good, of course, but he wasn't up there with the kind of category of drivers that you put him with, you know, that the Hamiltons, the Vettels, you know, those kind of drivers. But his, yeah, his racecraft is still incredible. And even at this age, it looks as good as ever. It really does. And I mean, yeah, I think he's banished any kind of doubts that he should have returned. Well, I'm just excited to see him next year in with the new regulations, hopefully in a car that's maybe a bit better than just midfield. Because I still think that if he was in a top car, he would give Verstappen and Hamilton a run for their money, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've always been a bit of an Alonso fan in that regard, because like we've spoken before on episodes of this about how he's been able to wrangle midfield cars like way higher than they should be. So given the right machinery, I still fully believe he'd be right in there. Daniel Ricciardo was full of praise for Alonso as well after sprint qualifying. He described his racecraft as being one of the best on the grid, or if not the best on the grid at times this season. And I think that shows that he's still got the respect of other drivers on the grid, hasn't he? They still know how good he can be.
Yeah, that was a really interesting comment from Ricciardo. You don't often hear a driver say that about another driver, at least while they're still on the grid and haven't retired, you know. So yeah, I think that spoke volumes, really. I think he is still very highly thought of, and yeah, I mean, I think he earns that respect as well. He doesn't generally ever push things over the edge with he's a very hard racer, but he always tends to be fair. I think we've seen that a lot this season, actually. You know, I think his start in sprint qualifying was obviously a masterclass in how to race. And he's had a lot. I remember he had a battle with Kimi. I think it was in Austria, where, again, it was just so hard, but there was never a point where, you know, he kind of looked like crashing into him or anything. So, yeah, I mean, on the whole, it's just a really good time to be an F1 fan, really. When you've got Hamilton, you've got Verstappen, Leclerc, Alonso, you've got Norris impressing. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of really impressive performances this weekend, I think, from a lot of the, well, best drivers of the season. I think they showed that they're probably the best on the grid, I think, you know, especially Hamilton, Leclerc, Alonso. They were probably the standouts. And yeah, that lines up with pretty well who I'd say are up there with the best drivers on the grid.
And it was a shame for one of the other world champions on the grid, Sebastian Vettel, because he was going wheels to wheel with Alonso, wasn't he? And he tried to get his foot down too early out of left field, and he ended up sort of spinning towards the pit, the old pits, and that kind of ruined his race, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a throwback to his latter Ferrari days, that the kind of spinning by himself. But it's a shame, because we saw it in sprint qualifying and in the race, Vettel Alonso going wheel to wheel. And it was great. It took me right back to 2012 again, you know, Ferrari v Red Bull. It was really cool to see. And I think both of them, you know, both of them raced really well up until the point where Vettel went spinning, which unfortunately just ruined his race completely. But before that, I think he looked pretty good in qualifying and in sprint qualifying. And yeah, like I said, it is just really cool to see these world champions still around on top of their game this much later. I mean, it's been almost 10 years since their title fight now, which seems crazy. And yet here they both still are fighting each other for points and holding their own against much younger drivers.
And that's great to see too, on track. But off track, Vettel's been making headlines again after helping construct a B hotel in Austria. He was videoed after the race because he had organized a fan litter picking event, didn't he?
Yeah, that was great. That was I felt like it was what my Twitter timeline needed at the time. Obviously, there was a lot of arguing about the Verstappen Hamilton incident and who was to blame and all of that stuff, and then in the midst of all of that, you just see a video of Sebastian Vettel picking up litter at Silverstone, and you just think, yeah, it was just really, really nice, a really cool thing for him to do. And I think there's a reason that he's arguably, I think, the most kind of universally liked driver in F1 these days. I mean, Kimi's pretty loved as well, I suppose. But,
you for know, different reasons, probably.
Yeah. But it was really cool to see it, especially, I mean, you know, you look at it, you think that's a four-time Formula One world champion there, an absolute legend of the sport. And he's just there helping pick up litter and clean up when he doesn't have to do that. You know, he doesn't gain anything personally from it. It's just a kind thing to do. And it was, really, really nice to see.
Yeah. Like you say, no one is forcing him to do that. And I mean, it probably wasn't always the case that he was the most universally liked driver on the grid, especially when he was winning. But the fact that, I mean, I wonder if part of that is because he doesn't put any of himself like out there on social media for people to see. But in the age where people are being able to take photos of him or filming him doing stuff, like he never seeks attention, does he? And he shows that outside the car, he comes across as like quite a normal bloke, doesn't he?
Yeah. And that's the thing that made the litter cleaning up so great, I think, was that if he was doing it in front of like Aston Martin cameras, you know, talking to the camera for some social media video, then you would have thought, they're just doing this for some good content. But it wasn't. There were no cameras. It was just some fan that was there that saw him and started filming him. You know, that's the only reason it got out in the first place, really. It was, he didn't do it for his image or anything, which is... Yeah, I love the fact that drivers are more open these days, you know, on social media and Twitch and stuff, and we get a bit of a better idea of their personal lives. But it is still refreshing, I think, and admirable that Vettel doesn't buy into that. And I think as well, you mentioned that he probably wasn't the most popular driver in the past. And I think that is partly because he was winning and, you know, it makes the sport more boring. But I think he's also matured a lot since his Red Bull days, for sure. I think his time at Ferrari, I don't know if it maybe humbled him a bit or something, but I think that you could see a pretty clear change from when he left Red Bull in 2014 to when he left Ferrari last year. It was, I think he has changed a lot to the point now where he is, like I said, one of the most popular drivers. And hopefully it kind of rubs off on younger drivers, you know. Hopefully we see them doing that kind of stuff as well,
which would be lovely to see as well. But looking forward now, two races to go until the summer break, Hungary and Belgium. Like, how important now in the context of the championship is this going to be?
Yeah, it's massive. I think and it's interesting tracks as well. You've got Hungary, where Hamilton's got to be the favorite, his record there, but Verstappen's effectively going to have a home crowd, I imagine, at Spa. I'm not sure what the restrictions are like for that race, actually, but if the crowd is allowed, I imagine he'll have it. And I think both of them are really going to want to be taking the lead into the summer break, because I am, as a fan, you know, like in football, for example, if in an international match, you know, after a match, you have to wait a long time to watch your team play again. So when Holland lose an international match and you then have to wait, I don't know, 4 months or something for another one, you're just kicking yourself the whole time wanting the next match to come along. And I think that's exactly the same for F1. I think if Hamilton and Verstappen go into this summer break trailing the other one, I don't think they'll be able to enjoy that month off. You know, they'll just be there kicking themselves about something they could have done differently to make sure they had the lead of the championship. So yeah, I mean, it's a thing, isn't it? It's only halfway through the season, really. I mean, statistically, it's not that important who's leading going into the summer break. But I think mentally, it will be such a boost for whoever does stay ahead and such a blow for whoever ends up behind. I mean, I've got no idea which way it's going to go. But I mean, well, that's the way it should be, I guess, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see what happens in a couple of weeks' time. And what you can do in the meantime, you can keep up with everything that's going on in the world of Formula One by heading to planetf1.com. We will have you more than covered there. And make sure you follow us on social media too. On Twitter, we're at planet_F1. Instagram, we're at planetf1.com. And on Facebook, just type in planetf1 and you'll be able to find us. And Finley, I'm really looking forward to what happens next. And thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. And can't wait for the season to come. I think we, like I said, it's not what you want, that kind of incident at the start of the race, but for the context of the title fight for us fans, it's a very exciting time now after that result.
Absolutely, and thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you soon.
Podcast Network.